Hi, welcome to Emotions in Worship. One of the things we must understand as God's people is that emotions are spiritual sometimes, many times. While they fluctuate back and forth, they are not usually a good indicator of life being well or not. They are very resourceful in worship. They are very resourceful in our moments of sanctifications and prayers. They are very resourceful in how the Lord speaks to us sometimes. They are very resourceful in our daily lives. Emotions are essentials. Biologically, if God didn't want them to be there, He could have taken them out. But the fact that they are there, it becomes important that we honor them. But if we don't take care, emotions can also get in the way of worship. We can be so focused on ourselves that we would lose sight of God. We would lose sight of what the Lord is saying. We would be so consumed with every other thing we feel. We could go from excitement in this second in worship to utter anger in the next moment, to guilt in the next moment. And so the question becomes, how do we handle all of this? Because if emotions are important and we can feel any form of emotions in worship, it also means we can feel shame. It also means we can't put shame behind. It comes up. It's going to show up. And then it becomes a form of distraction. If it becomes a form of distraction, when it becomes a form of distraction, many times we want to eliminate it and return to God, which is something I'm going to talk about. We want to eliminate it and return to God like God cannot handle it. We want to fix it. We want to help God do it. But that's not how it works. You're supposed to feel it in worship because that's where there's response. That's where there's answer. God can handle it. It is in being honest and in being genuine that we can release it, that we can let it go. In God's presence is answer. And so there is no more atonement. Hebrews 10:26 says, "If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left." There is no more atonement. There is nothing. There is no upgrade we want to perform. There is no more sacrifice we want to make. There is no more dying that we want to do. There is no more self-beating that we want to do, that wants to atone for whatever it is that fills us with shame and with guilt in worship. So in order to release it, we must acknowledge that this is the best place for it to be. When we allow ourselves focus on the guilt and shame in worship, in those moments, we try to earn God's love. We're fighting so hard. We're trying to probably sing louder than someone or keep quiet and look pious. We're trying to fight for God's presence. We're trying to fight for God's love. We're trying to be sanctimonious within ourselves. But there is no more atonement. All that can be done is already done. That's what the sacrifice of Jesus is for. Do you know you were wrong? Have you accepted that you were wrong? Have you decided to move on, to go forward with God? Then in God's presence, you must acknowledge that there is nothing else you can do than that which is already done. In every few seconds, we take decisions. It doesn't take you 5 hours to take some decisions. If I bring something close to your eyes blink instantly. Your brain processed it. The information was taken to your brain. Your brain sent back feedback and your eyes responded in split seconds. That's the same way we can take some decisions in split seconds. But mind you, you are human. You process. You have what is called a limbic system in your head. You are not a lizard. A lizard doesn't know you are bringing food or not. That's what we call the reptilian brain. It doesn't know, oh, this person is my caretaker, this person isn't. It just runs away. When a snake sees you, it just runs away. That's a reptilian brain. But as we talk about higher class of creatures, what we see is we begin to find processing. You have the capacity to say, oh, okay, this is what has happened. This is how it happened. And this is what I'm going to do going forward. So in that moment in worship, you can actually shut down completely and say, oh, because I feel guilty, I am not going to stay here. Or you can choose to stay there in that uncomfortable moment and release it in worship. So the big question is, Lisa, how do I release guilt and shame in worship? We'll do that in Module 3. Hi, friends. Welcome to the God Spot. The God Spot is God's position on a matter per time. That's how I see it. When we are in life and in ministry, when we have the privilege of holding microphones, whatever it is, it's very easy for the enemy to try to distract us with emotions and things he knows we are not proud of. But it is in such moments that our understanding of who we are becomes most important. Who are you in the eyes of God? You are God begotten, blood bought, washed, sanctified, qualified. You are anointed. That's who you are. You must understand how the Father sees you. And it becomes necessary that you begin to dig into God's word to identify yourself. You cannot identify yourself by your personal opinions in those moments because your opinions are shady. That's why you're filled with shame. Your opinions are not who the Father sees you are. Your opinions are looking at you, your experiences, your background, not who you really are. And so the God Spot is what the Father says about you. Do you know what God's word says about you? Because you cannot release guilt and shame by your hard work. You can't. Now that you know what God's word says about you, the second thing I would say sounds counterintuitive, but it's true. You have to learn to stay in the uncomfortable moments with the Father. I remember this one time where I was in church and we're leading worship. You understand what I mean by leading worship? There were songs and instruments and everything. And it was just one of those perfect moments. And all of a sudden, I just started having flashbacks. I wasn't sure, should I keep my hand up? I wasn't sure if I should keep my hand up or I should sit down. What was the response? It was like brief 5 to 10 seconds. But after those few seconds, what I did notice was I couldn't worship as much as I was before that moment happened. See, what just happened in that moment was I got distracted by shame. But in staying there and saying, if I leave here, I have nowhere else to go to. David said, if I lay my bed in hell, you will find me there. You are there. If I go to the heights of the heavens, you are there. See, in understanding that God is with us and God can handle the ups and the downs of our emotions, that God can be present and encompassing all we need. In knowing that we have nowhere else to go to, we can truly be free knowing, okay, this is home. This is home. I don't have to pretend here. I can let go of this wrong thing I have done. It was an abortion done years ago. I didn't know what I know now. It was a rape situation. I didn't know what I know now. I know God now. I am now in this moment. The enemy no longer has a hold on me. It is in staying in God's presence in that uncomfortable minute that we truly let go. that moment when we know God can catch us. I think one of my favorite scriptures of all time, aside from the entire Romans chapter 8, is Jude 23. Unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne. He's able. He's not intimidated by your failures. Stop trying to be perfect and come to God. He doesn't need you to be perfect and come to him. You come to him to be made perfect. I think we did this extensively in the Nakedness is Next to Godliness series, podcast, book, and everything. Being naked before God, being open before God, knowing that God can catch you. I hope this helps you. If you have any questions, you feel free to email us, use the contact page on the website, and reach out. God bless you.